You're listening to The Feast of Fools.
Mouthful of dick. What do you say? Mouthful of dick. What do you say?
Today, the Feast of Fools, Monday, February 21st, 2005, with your host, Fausto Fernos, and the ever so glamorous Victoria Lamar and her lesbian lover, Jen Wychowski, and our very special guest, queer rock star Scott Free, and gossip, news, and more. Scott, what exactly are you saying in that song?
Well, right there, I was choking. I wasn't saying anything.
Did you actually use your boyfriend's penis for his practicing song? In that song?
No, actually, though, I did actually...
Oh, hold on, I Feel Pretty's coming on.
Oh.
Sorry. This is the problem of doing these podcasts is that sometimes the wrong song will just come on. I have sitting here in my apartment is none other than queer musician Scott Free, who so generously came by on a Saturday, and we're going to be showing this on Monday. It's Monday right now, but yes. We're recording this. And he's bringing his colorful, candy-coated, easy-to-wipe... new CD they call me Mr. Free, Scott Free. For those of you guys who don't know who Scott Free is, he is a queer rock singer, songwriter extraordinaire. Of course, I'm just reading this off of his press release. So.
But it's all the truth.
It's really true. He is extraordinaire, not extraordinary.
No, that sounds French, so that's what
he's a French. Now, he's one of America's leading openly gay male artists. Basically, Scott Free has been writing songs in every genre, from rap music to heavy metal, jazz, and folk music. For the last... How long have you been doing this now? For a long time. He's been doing it for longer than Madonna has. Okay? And yet, he manages to...
To not be as famous as her.
To be not as wealthy as she is. No. You know? So, certainly, you have your own following and you have your own show... That happens every weekly, every
yes,
week,
I
right?
I do have a show in Chicago.
That used to be called Grindr. Oh, hold on a second. Somebody's calling me on the phone.
Already?
Oh, it's my mom.
Yay.
Okay, hold on a second.
Aww.
Hi, Patricia.
Hello there. How are you tonight?
Doing fine. How have you been? What's been going on with you, Mom?
Well, I've had a really nice visitor about 2 weeks.
Oh, let me turn up the volume here.
Can you hear me? My friend Terrence McNally came into town for 24 hours. Mm.
Terrence McNally?
Uh-huh.
So it was Maureen McElroy, and Terrence McNally.
Maureen McElroy, yeah.
And you guys went to, what did you guys have, dinner there or something? Or?
Well, actually, there's another friend who lives here who's all, who's Terry Weeks. And Terry Weeks and I were all good friends in high school, and he lived here too, Terry Weeks, so we all hung out, the three of us, and we got to visit each one of us with Terrence on our own, and it was just a lovely, lovely, lovely visit.
Terrence McNally recently, what you were telling me earlier in the phone today, that he went to Canada, or where did he go? He got married someplace? To a woman?
There's a couple of things that I think are really nice to share that I found out here. First of all, he had cancer. He had lung cancer.
Oh, from smoking.
But they caught it. He says he was lucky because he has a checkup every year, and they caught the spot in his lung. And he went through 2 or 3 years of very intensive. He had several operations and lots of recuperation.
But
he's
going to be okay then.
He's in good shape.
He's going to be okay then.
Yeah, he's going to be fine, which for lung cancer, that's, you know. Mm. So that was a really profound experience. And then he was telling me that he's gotten married
to a woman?
About a year ago.
Who was the, wait a minute, isn't Terrence McNally gay?
Yeah, he's gay, uh-huh.
So who did he marry?
His partner's name is Tom. I don't remember his last name.
Okay, so it was to another guy. So it was an illegal marriage. Or where did he go someplace to get married legally, though?
They went to Vermont.
Oh, now Scott Free recently also got married himself, right?
Yes, I did.
To a man.
Who did?
Last weekend in Toronto.
Who did?
Scott Free.
Oh, Scott Free, yeah.
Yes, to his partner Gene, the bodybuilder.
How he and Tom were so really thoughtful about the process, and how they, the night before, they were just in a different, deeper mood, and the way he was explaining, I started crying.
Why was it so touching to you, exactly?
So that's really something for people to know. That's so wonderful.
To get married
married.
Listen to me, Mom. This is my show. I'm interviewing you here. Okay. So I want to know. So what was it about it that was touching to you? I mean, the fact that they were getting in a deeper place emotionally, or what was?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And what was it? Was it the fact that they were getting legally married, or was there a ritual? Did they have a party? Did they have a ceremony?
I don't know the details, really. He was just telling Ms. McElroy about how you know, touched he was, how what a profound experience it was to go through that marriage ceremony.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, you've gone through one of those yourself, too, right?
Yes, I have, of course.
You're like... But you make it sound like it's old news for you.
I think that's such an important...
I think it's important, too.
Possibility, you know? I mean, this business of being against gay marriage is, to me... Not understanding what marriage is all about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody's as enlightened and intelligent as you are. So what else did you guys do when with Terrence McNally in your house? My mom lives in Austin, Texas, which is the ground zero for the Bush family, ironically enough. And so they were having a lot of fun this past weekend, basically reminiscing about the past, right? And
that was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And so what else did you guys do besides just sit around and talk?
We had wonderful Mexican food at a place called Tuacana, La Michoacana. It's a meat market and a grocery store. And they had this wonderful, comida mexicana. And then I made some enchiladas, chicken enchiladas, and we went over to Kerry Weekend and had a lovely, lovely time talking about the past, talking about the future.
Oh, that's nice.
We'll be
very
over.
Very interesting. He's a wonderful person.
Well, Mom, thanks so much for calling and giving us that little gossip on Terrence McNally's private life. We really appreciate you calling about that. But
I'm
you're going to be talking... What?
What did you just say?
I said thanks for calling telling us all the gossip.
I'll be looking forward to hearing my own voice on the radio.
Oh, it's a podcast, though. It's not going on the live on the airwaves.
Well, quote-unquote radio.
Yes, it's radio-like.
Have a good session tonight. Now,
okay.
Talk to you later.
Now, we're going to be talking to you later next week about your experiences as an educator of breastfeeding in Puerto Rico,
okay,
right?
Okay, that's great.
So keep in touch with that.
Hi, Mark. That Mark there?
No, just here is Victoria Lamar, her lesbian lover, Jan, and Scott Free is sitting here.
Oh,
hi, everybody.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi. Okay. For all your email.
You sound like such an enchanting woman.
She is an enchanting woman, so, unless you happen to be her son. Hey, I love you, Mom. Good night.
Goodbye.
Take care. And that is Patricia Furnos.
Oh, that's funny.
So let's listen to a little bit of Scott Free's new album, which is wonderful, wonderful songs here. And how about, let me see what I got here. Now, if you guys actually want to listen to the entire album, it is going to be going on iTunes soon.
Yeah, they're a little slow with that. I don't know what's going on, but it will be on iTunes.
It's, you know, CD baby sucks. Let's just put it that way. Because we're trying to get, for yesterday's podcast, Alexandra Billings' music on iTunes. And we had to steal it, basically.
Yeah,
so just so you know, Alexandra Billings, we would have paid to... broadcast your music because your stupid record company, CD Baby, was too lazy to upload the files to Cupertino, California. You lost out on $10 from me, personally. So, let's hear... actually, let's hear when queers become rock stars. Okay. Basically, Scott Free's talking about his personal experience.
Oh.
This sounds like a... Oh, it's part of the song. For a second, I thought my iPod had broken or something.
Queers become rock stars. They turn straight. They spit in our face and we take it. Their agents and managers say what they can and they can't do. They tell them the candy will hinder the chances. They lose all the fans, so they stand back and rake in the cash so they get caught in the bathroom. And they forget to mention till a death of confession, the last will and testament's exhumed. Or they claim to be straight, pick a mate, procreate with in vitro fertilization for all of the children. Or they come out with fanfare to make a stand, but it's a show, because their careers are a standstill and sales are low. The
okay, so basically, gay people, when they become famous and successful, they suck.
Universally.
Now, why do they suck exactly?
Well, I think...
And who are we talking about specifically? Are you talking about Elton John? Look, he's fat. He can't help being mean.
He's a fat cunt.
He really is a fat cunt. Now, who are you, exactly are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of people that
can you name names here? Which celebrities suck?
Well, let's see.
David Geffen. Oh, but you're looking... Wait, you're a musician, so you're open. I love David Geffen.
No. I mean, the ones I reference in the song are... Let's see, George Michael
sucks.
Elton John
sucks.
Yeah.
Madonna, she used to be a lesbian, you know that?
Oh, yeah, really, for a week.
For about a weekend with Sandra Bernhardt.
Really, actually, that's the same kind of idea. It's just the fact that all these celebrities, really what they do is they just use the gay community to, you know,
right.
to advance their career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So either they pretend to be gay when they're not, or they pretend to be straight when they're not, or they just use whatever tactics they can to, you know.
Well, like Victoria Lamar here last week, she was pretending to be heterosexual in order to get a discount at Tasty Freeze.
That's right.
It didn't work.
They saw right through her
disguise. Now, one thing I'm looking here at your press release, and a lot of people raise an eyebrow when I bring this up, is that you were one of the first white rappers on black entertainment television with your video.
Actually the first.
You are the first. You beat Eminem, you beat Vanilla Ice with your hardcore cover of, or no, it was original song.
It was original song.
It was called Beat the Rap.
Yeah, actually I beat Beastie Boys by about 6 months.
Ooh.
Wow. So actually, yeah.
You go, girl.
Go, girl.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? What year was this exactly?
I'm going to say 84.
1984, in the middle of the Reagan era.
Wow. Yeah.
You were a white man releasing rap music, which was pretty much unheard of at its time, right? What made you, what was going on in your mind? Why did you think that you wanted to, first of all, release rap music? Because you come from a jazz and gospel music background.
I come from a, you know, traditional public education system background. I played trumpet, you know. Yeah, I was in the jazz band and piano and all that kind of stuff.
So why did you create a rap song and release it to black entertainment television?
Well, I was living in New York at the time.
Uh-huh.
And so rap had just kind of exploded there and really hadn't hit across the country yet. So
was it identified as strongly with race at that time period?
Oh, absolutely.
So you were... I mean, were you like going with like Eminem to like rap clubs and?
No,
or you were just
actually,
at home in your recording studio.
Right, yeah, I just kind of did it on my own, and really, it was a novelty song, and that's why they played it. I think because it was just, you know,
it was like, look at this this big homosexual,
yeah,
going yo.
Because you were the white boy rapper, right?
Well, I mean, you know, it wasn't a huge hit or anything,
no.
But it was phenomenal,
the fact that you were breaking such new territory at that time period, I think.
Well, I think also it was, you know, it was a different, BET was very young, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I think it had a lot to do with also the radio in New York at the time, which was actually very, black radio was really pretty experimental.
It was like experimental. Why was it so experimental?
Because they were playing rap, which
they had nothing to lose,
of.
Or they were
no. I don't. I just think they were taking chances. I don't know why, mm-hmm. but it was BLS. That was the big station in New York at the time, and like they played. They actually broke Boy George, which was really, you know,
they outed thing. Him or they no, they were playing they, Wake they, Me Up Before You Go Go.
No. It was no, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
Yeah.
Oh, that boy. I was thinking of George Michael.
Yeah.
Boy, so George, really George made, Michael.
Yeah, they were the ones who broke him in the U.S. And I mean, that a black station playing this white guy, you know, doing this reggae song. I mean, it was just a unique time. Mm-hmm. And they were playing a lot of rap. And at the time.
Now,
like,
that time period, was the AIDS crisis sort of halfway in there? Or?
No, it was definitely, yeah. It was
and you were involved
right
with ACT UP quite a bit, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is about...
ACT UP, for those of you guys who don't have, you know, who for young gay people, it was basically a group of angry lesbians and gay men. Actually, gay men and lesbians for the first time in history working together,
no,
right?
Amazing.
And yelling at that time, which actually... Historically, by comparison, President Reagan seems like a dreamboat compared to President Bush. It is like you couldn't imagine a worse president at that time period.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at that time George Bush was being like bred, or he was being brainwashed by the CIA to be the incarnation of evil that he is today.
No, it was a rough time. It was definitely, you know, there was like this big black cloud over everything. It was just
kind of like 9/11, huh?
Well, it was
a 9/11 of.
It was just very fatalistic period. Yeah. I mean, and it was. I mean, you know, because everybody was kind of like, oh God, am I going to get it next? And,
everybody died.
And yeah, I mean, everybody was just dropping like flies. Yeah. So yeah, it was a rough time.
And and so did that have anything to do with the tone or the of your music? How did that affect your music at the time?
You know, actually, it took me years to kind of to.
God damn this fucking piece of shit, Pro Tools. God, I hate...
Technology.
No, it's not technology.
As my grandfather said before he died, someday they'll throw all the computers into the river.
Yeah, and me with it. I'll throw myself into the river. Now, one thing I wanted to play a little, you know, before we get off, is your tribute song, or I guess your
anti-tribute song?
No, your response to Eminem's
okay.
career, I guess, which is called Another Day of the Cruelty. Here we go.
Excuse me, can I have your attention, please? Hey, kids, tired of getting beat up every day after school. Some at before school, in the hall, lunch, and after school. They wait for you after classes, smash your glasses into 18 pieces. Rub your face in dog feces, spit food in your face in the cafeteria. Fill your milk with ammonia so you choke and the whole crowd goes into hysteria. In the hall they whistle at you, throw kisses at you, proposition you, push you into the bathroom and piss on you. In the classroom they leave thumbtacks at your chair on the seat, trip you, then drag you down the stairs by your feet. Hang you upside down on the fence over by the soccer field, drag you naked from a speeding automobile. And all because you're queer, that's right, queer. You heard the magic word, as every adult, I'm looking fair. Let me assure you. Well, if that doesn't work, they prefer to keep it all blurred. They say you must be questioning or confused. While they keep pestering, there's gotta be something to choose. And the pressure gets festering till you can't stand it, you lit a fuse. While they desperately find someone, anyone to accuse. Like it's not normality or happened accidentally.
You can't think, you know, it's really impressive to me the way that you're speaking so quickly. Did you practice a lot, or...?
You know, I actually, yeah, I'm a little afraid to do it live.
To do it live? Oh, you know, have you ever performed this live?
This one I have not. I've done all my rap songs except this one.
You're like, hey kids.
This is kind of like, please stand up.
Okay, so you try to go talk to the principal. You know the invisible.
Now, one thing I want to actually draw attention here is to Scott Free, who's sitting here in my living room. In Edgewater in Chicago, Illinois. He's wearing nothing except a gold lame sort of speedo.
Well, that's the way I always do all interviews.
Mm. Yeah, and it's Victoria. Let's do a little critique on Scott Free's body. Oh. What would you let's start talking about it?
I don't know. I mean, I could just start from the head to the toes, and it's just amazing.
Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Scott Free, the man is 6 foot address? Four, weighs 260 pounds.
240.
Are you into open relationships?
I know. It's like, and his boyfriend is sitting outside in the car.
Oh my God!
I can see him across the street, and he's furious.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. Like,
he hates when I do.
Is
nude
it kind
interviews.
Of a stalker?
He hates it.
He hates when you do nude interviews. Yeah. Well, he's not. They're not completely naked.
But, he can't. He can't tell. It looks nude from.
But he's like Scott
from this window.
You better not take off your panties again. And here, Victoria Lamar is wearing this. Jen, how would you describe Victoria's outfit?
Well, first of all, let's go to her hair.
Yes.
She's wearing a
get a
nice,
little closer
real
there.
Nice beehive.
Here. Scoot up, honey.
Okay, honey.
Just get there. There you go.
Early early beef.
Very good. Just project, because Jen's a little farther away, you know, because we're having a four-way today, so it's a little tricky.
Plus, I can't see too well. Okay. She has a beautiful beehive tonight. Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like pink frosted.
Kind of pink, yeah. Looks like a lot like cotton candy, if you know what I mean. Do people out there know what cotton candy
like to eat my
is?
Hair
it's like real soft and like kind of like crunchy.
And that dress.
You would know, baby. Oh, you would know.
I love that boa. It's
iridescent, sort of, I don't know, like a Jackie Collins evening gown.
Yeah, nice and glittery tonight. Mm-hmm. Nice little
and you're looking
cut.
Great
oh,
in that turquoise
so.
Number there.
Thank you. Thank
it's really
you.
It's really sweet. It's like a little pantsuit. Very business-like.
Is that
business
leather?
Yeah, it's polyester.
Right? That's the one I like because it makes your tits really stand up.
No, it's polyester.
Nice. Hot.
And I'm here just wearing my usually blue velvet
thank you very much,
suit.
Man.
Sort of a...
Oh, yeah, very handsome.
It's sort of like Partridge Family.
Matches your blue hair really
thank
well.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Well, I wore a little similar version of this at their last Christmas show. Now, one thing I wanted to know here, you are actually scot-free.
Yes.
You're qualifying. You're one of the few gay men in the city who have not been arrested for crystal meth use or run over any cab drivers.
No, I am maybe the last.
Yeah, because tonight is the night of Fireball, one of the largest HIV/AIDS fundraisers. Mm. And drug-induced hysteria yes. events at called the Circuit Party in the country. And
are we going?
First of all, you know that, Boston.
What? It's going to be held in Union Station, which is on city property.
Oh, wow.
And so there's been a lot of controversy about this because, first of all, Howard Brown, the director of development, was arrested on Friday.
Why?
For selling crystal meth.
Yes.
At this planning to sell crystal meth at this event on Saturday.
Where they have the crystal meth meetings.
Exactly. At the same location where they're actually like trying to get people off the stuff.
No, he's
director of development.
Of the program. No,
he was the director of the program as well.
To get people off.
Right.
Oh,
so he's like,
fucking
hey, listen, you don't have to pay attention.
There's got to be fucking kidding.
Yeah,
there is no fucking hope. There's no fucking hope. What's
well,
hope?
There is hope. I just think that
there is no hope. If the director
it's just one person doing something really awful. And it's not systematic of the whole industry because, let's face it, Howard Brown, you know, between at least three of us, Howard Brown has given us, I don't know for you, but Scott.
Well, they give me their hormone shots there. I love them. They're fabulous.
Also the Botox injections.
Yes. But they also like
paid
help
by
you
the taxpayers of
with
Chicago.
Your
so wonderful.
When you were infected with chlamydia in your vagina,
that's right.
After your sex change,
a lot of sulfur antibiotics.
Now let me tell you, there's nothing more painful
than a yeast infection.
And yeast infection
after a sex change.
After a sex change.
Let's talk, okay?
Yeah.
And now hot breaking news stories: Michael L. Jackson, not the king of pop, but the king of poppers. The immigrant taxicab killer, we found out through a friend of a source of Link Pink's that he has a profile on manhunt.net. And we actually managed to find this profile. And here it is. It's Hot and Hung Stud.
Oh.
Isn't that nice? Now, let me read a little bit about his. He's a VGL jock stud. VGL stands for a very good looking, which I don't know if you saw his mugshot. You might not agree with that.
Or
if
you call that a mugshot?
Well, this is not a mugshot. The mugshot in the papers.
Oh.
This is the guy that hit the
cab driver.
The gay boy.
The cab driver.
Oh, the cab driver. The fag.
He ran over. Yes. He ran over the cab driver.
He just hit him. He ran him over.
He ran him over like three times, right?
Yeah.
Three times.
Oh, my God.
He's smooth. Age 34, 5'11", 175 pounds, 8 inches cut, great cock and ass.
Wow.
Insatiable stud that loves fun. Nasty pig sex.
Pig sex?
Oh,
he's into toys, ass play, French fries.
French fries?
Oh, fist FF.
Oh, that's
me. He's into me. Fausto, Feast of Fools.
No.
He's into the Feast of Fools show.
He loves beer, yeah.
BB, I don't know what that means. Bareback?
Probably.
Bareback. Probably.
And BDSM.
Or buttfuck.
What does BDSM stand for?
Bondage, discipline, sadism, masochism.
Yeah.
Ooh. Now, I want to know, do you and your boyfriend practice any of that stuff? Bondage, sadism.
We don't need to practice. We're experts.
They live it.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys actually, Scott Free did organize a sort of a music concert that was tied into IML called Bear All a couple of years ago.
Tied into Bear Pride, which happened at the same time as IML.
Now, do you consider yourself a bear?
No.
Is your boyfriend a bear?
No.
Are you a cub?
We pretend to be bears for that weekend.
You do?
We pretend to be
bears.
Well,
what does it mean to pretend to be a bear? Like,
do you have to weigh 500 pounds and pretend I'm a bear?
He's like, I'm right now. No, I want to know, did you put on like a Winnie the Pooh outfit? Or
a big pink one?
Did you?
No, we just kind of... Yeah, get real sloppy for a week and then...
And that was a lot of fun. Actually, photos. I personally hosted that thing at...
It was a great event. It was
great at the now closed down Voltaire. Right. Another business shut down by too much drug use.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be having her in a couple of weeks. Amy Armstrong, the diva from that.
Oh, I love her.
Voltaire. She's going to be coming on our show.
Oh, cool.
But I guess my question to you, Scott, is how do you think... drugs has affected gay music specifically, and is there as many people first of all creating music or?
Well, I read this piece. I don't remember where it was, New York Times or something that theorized, which I don't know. It sounded kind of legitimate to me that circuit music that's happening right now is a direct result of crystal meth use and some of the other drugs like K and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it is extremely repetitive, and it. I used to do.
Let's actually, speaking of repetitive music, Lady Bunny just re-released her website and put some songs in it, and she sent out a press release. Let me read to you a little bit about it.
Okay.
If there ever was a website matched by its owner, LadyBunny.net, that's not really her name, it's Lady Bunny. The cyberspace home of Manhattan drag comedian Wigstock founder DJ... Okay. Lady Bunny, the founder of Wigstock, has released some songs. And let me just sort of play some of this here for you. So, to illustrate what Scott Free's talking about. And listen to Fuck, I Get High. Is that your song or hers?
We did a duet, yeah, actually.
Yeah, let's listen to I Get High. So here you have the unchi, unchi, unchi downbeat of most techno music. Why do you think that now? How do you think that's affected? Do you think a lot of has to do with drug use? Or?
Well, that's the theory, is that because circuit parties are so much about taking these particular drugs, that the music has kind of melded with that philosophy, so that really the point of the music is just to...
Induce a trance,
right,
or to enhance the trance.
And so actually, it kind of is taking, in my opinion, what's interesting about music and just created this sound kind of that you do your drugs around.
But it's like a wall of sound, a wall of noise, I guess. Or.
Yeah.
And it's like real fast. You're like dancing.
Well, here, listen to it.
Energy,
like a machine.
Oh, by the way, we're a minute into this song and Lady Bunny still hasn't sung it.
Okay.
I feel like she turned on the Casio recorder and it just let it go, and she went to like fix herself a sandwich. Let me say, Lady Bunny, I ran into her at when they came here to do a Wigstock show in Chicago about several years back, and she was enormous. She was like the fattest drag queen alive.
Bigger than Honey West?
She was like, basically, if all of us stood around, if we all stood shoulder to shoulder and we put a rope around us, that would be her belt.
Wow.
And she had this huge wig. She was like a giant
She's wearing very
cloud.
Big wigs.
Big hair. Well, big the older wigs. You get, it takes the focus away from the face
fat,
and the top
and
of the head.
And your bottom.
Okay, this is just incredibly
wide
annoying.
Load.
Pulls everything up.
Wide load.
Big hair.
Wide
oh, my
load.
God.
Smaller face.
Okay, let's listen to another. This song is called Let's Get Jumpin'.
Smaller face.
And of course, the first song, the first lyrics that come out is Let's Get Jumping.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I have to thank god for an iPod that can go.
Is it true you can stick crystal meth up your butt?
Hold on, Victoria.
Oh, wait, I haven't heard that.
Gotta get up off the floor because I'm too high on crystal meth. Oh, that's just unlistenable. Okay, the best way I can describe Lady Bunny's new CD, if it ever gets released, is unlistenable.
I agree with you.
Oh, dear. You know, and we love, I really love Lady Bunny, and I love her work and her philosophy, and it's just a shame that, you know, the way that this kind of culture has made people like Lady Bunny feel like they need to release something this crappy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, she's brilliant at taking this karaoke music and writing new lyrics for it and being expletive. And, you know, what the fuck is going on, you know?
Yeah, I do think that the kind of DJ world is pretty fucked up because, especially as a musician, like, if you read, I mean, in so many of the game magazines and newspapers, they'll do music columns, and then the music columns they really are just talking about DJs. Yeah. And the thing is, it's like,
oh, I know, and it's like, I don't even know who the fuck they are.
Well, and the, to me, the problem is that they never mention any of the artists who made the music they're playing.
Exactly.
That's what's so strange to me. It's like,
and this is not true.
So it's all about them, basically.
Yeah, which really, to me, I don't know, it just doesn't. You know.
Well, this year, Britney Spears' song "Toxic" won Best Dance Single.
Oh wow!
For won a Grammy.
You kidding?
Which are sort of like, you know, the Grammy Awards is sort of like Microsoft giving itself award for best operating system.
Right, right. Exactly.
It's like, you know, it's like, here, I just released an album, and now I got everybody on my company
Mine.
To vote for this album that we just released.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's sort of disingenuous. Now, one of the best shows that actually, ladies and gentlemen and transsexuals that have disfigured your body beyond recognition, and plastic surgery addicts, obese people, anorexics, you know who you are.
Hmm.
One of the most wonderful shows that I've ever seen was put together by our good friend Vaginal Cream Davis and Scott Free at the Bop Shop. And that was in 1997.
Really?
And I saw... And Scott Free was thin as Victoria Lamar.
Wow.
This is before Scott
is
Free
for me?
Discovered... started dating personal trainers. And hitting the gym.
Motivations, yes.
Now, that was one of the best shows that actually I'd seen
Thank
ever.
You.
What was...
Thank
the, please, can you tell me what... Was that your idea to put... Basically, it was a... Can you describe the show for those
you know,
who are there?
I'm going to not exactly remember who came up with the idea, but it was Steve Lafreniere who had asked me...
Steve is who or what does
well,
he do?
Well, he actually...
He's a friend
he's
of yours?
Associate editor of... The Index, the New York magazine.
Okay.
But he used to live in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was coming into town and... Maybe he asked me to do a jazz thing, or I just decided I was going to do... Yeah, I can't remember. But anyway, what I did was I just...
They approached...
Off.
Someone had approached you
well, Steve,
and said, here's a CD of Vaginal Cream Davis songs, which, by the way, are pretty obnoxious and annoying. And you took this CD and you created this, like, jazz versions.
Right, I just wrote jazz versions of all the songs. So I changed the... There's one thing about
I wish
jazz.
That would have
There's
been
a
recorded.
Tradition in jazz. And I have an extremely bad recording of it. It was just like somebody had a tape recorder to get on the audience. Okay. So I do have something. But yeah, there's like a tradition in jazz where you can change all the underlying chords of a song. So I did a lot of that with her stuff. And that actually the amazing thing was that we really hadn't rehearsed it. I played, I probably sang falsetto over it, you know, and just sent her a tape, you know, real.
And she
you know,
practiced. Vaginal Cream Davis is one of the, I mean, if you guys have not discovered Vaginal Cream Davis yet, go to her website. You can read her daily weblog. She has a gossip column, and she's incredibly brilliant and hilarious internet personality like Madge Weinstein and Scott Free and myself, who fall into this sort of like queer counterculture,
oh.
as I would put I like it. That. And I think that what I really appreciated so much about that show was that it was such an immediate and fresh and honest embracing of her sexuality, but also just this, it was just so funny. She pulled out this young guy out from the audience, pulls out some cherries, puts whipped cream on his toes and with cherries and starts sucking them off. All meanwhile, Scott Free's in the background playing this elaborate jazz version of Cherries in the Snow.
Oh, yeah, it was like a five magic. Piece. We had a five piece band.
A five piece band with, you know, it was just, I absolutely, you know, is there any talk about that ever happening again?
You know, I don't, I think I've only spoken to her once since. So.
It was such a shame. And that was the, at the bop shop that the, then it closed down. They turned into a horrible lesbian prison bar. No offense, Jan. You can talk. I don't know. Sorry. Jan's been very quiet here earlier, but she couldn't shut up before the interview, so I told her to scream at her to be quiet. You can talk, Jan. Yeah, they basically took the bop shop, the venue that they played that at, and turned it into this horrible prison lesbian bar. It's such a scary place. It's called Stargaze. It's on Clark Street in Chicago.
Yeah, I've been there.
You've been there, yeah. And it's so scary that even lesbians won't go there.
It's true, yeah.
Is it kind of like the one on, oh God, where is that? Montrose? And you have to like...
It's like a Gato Negro, but for lesbians.
Yeah, what is that one called? What's that bar, honey? Remember we were there?
One word.
And if you weigh... If you're lighter than Scott Free and fat... You cannot get inside there. You won't even serve you.
Or old.
You have to be a morbidly obese lesbian in order to be served a cocktail there.
And you have to have five IDs.
Five IDs. Now, you actually tried to do a show inside there. What happened that day? Can you talk about this?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I do want to add one thing, though, is that it's owned by two women who are partners. And the one woman...
One of them is really nice. And the other one's a total cunt.
Yeah.
Okay, so the cunt came up to you.
Well, yes. I was putting on a show there. Actually, it was Doria Roberts, Queerstock, she was coming into town.
Okay.
I was helping her.
So Doria Roberts, professional lesbian from the East Coast.
So I brought in this poster, and I asked one of the bartenders, it wasn't the owner, but I asked her, you know, can I put up this poster? It's a show here at Stargaze. And she said, oh, yeah, no problem. Well, the poster had a picture of myself, Robert Urban, and a woman named Angela Motter.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela Motter was in the center because she was kind of the feature. So I'm going to put up this poster in the window, and all of a sudden this hand grabs me and rips the poster away and says, what is this? Three guys at Stargaze? I don't think so. No. I was like, well,
actually, the person in the middle is the woman,
but...
And she was black, too.
Angela is not.
Oh, but the...
Well, Doria is.
Doria. Yeah. So in lesbian dollars, it's like twice the value.
Yeah.
To be lesbian and black.
Well, why do lesbians hate men anyway? I mean, my girlfriend doesn't.
Well, because they're jealous. Why do you hate men, Jan?
Why do you hate men, Jan?
I love men, actually. No.
Honey.
Now, see, I think the reason is there's a lot of animosity.
Let's talk.
Because, let's just face it, guys are jerks to women anywhere at any time.
Yeah, that's true.
But on the opposite aspect of that is that lesbians are just jealous because they don't have, you know, imagine yourself as a straight guy and you don't have a penis. Would you be angry?
Yeah, but that isn't it like the butch?
It's like a declawed cat.
Wouldn't that be like the butch lesbian that wants the penis?
Does the femme girl want the penis?
Good point.
Mark Phelan and I were trapped in the mountains of Tennessee, which one of those events that you actually have been to, but.
Mentioning it or something?
I'm trying to remember the name. Oh. I was so traumatized by it.
I'm just listening.
Give me a second. I'm really bad with these.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Of course,
Christ.
No, wait.
It was so horrible.
Idapalooza. Idapalooza's not always horrible. Maybe you have
Well,
bad
it
experience.
Was wonderful at the beginning, and then it de-evolved.
Oh, you know what? That was the year I wasn't there. Because
that was
we
the
performed
year.
There when
you... That's right. You and I performed
and
there time. Together with Link Pinks.
Right.
And then 2 years later... they invited me to come back and host their rock concert.
I didn't know you hosted it.
I hosted it, and I guess like the Michigan Women's Music Folk Festival had just coincided with this event, and all the female to male lesbian transsexuals decided to pick up from Camp Trans. This is the protest against the Michigan Women's Music Folk Festival.
Exactly.
The angry lesbians who protest the angrier. Now, these are the angrier lesbians who protest the angry lesbians.
Yeah, because they wouldn't allow transgender lesbians in the music festival.
I played at Camp Trans.
I think these are like women that really don't have a life, maybe, you know? Or, you know, you were talking about, you know, women that hate men or the gay women that hate men.
Are you still talking about that? We're talking about the traumatizing
But we're talking about gay women, okay? Yeah, and then how, you know, angry and things
why is Goddess so angry?
It's just a conservative mentality, though, is what it is. It's a very
conservative
mentality.
But then there are gay men that hate lesbians.
I think it's just typecasting, too. Yeah. And I think it's when a group of people get together... You know, and they have a voice out there. They're rather than an individual person type of thing. You know what I mean? I mean, if you take somebody aside, a real lesbian aside or something, and you know, it's you know, she's quite different than in the group setting. I think it works both ways too. You know, gay and lesbians too.
Well, I also think the separatist movement was part of the feminist movement, and that's why I say it's kind of an outdated idea. And there's some people who just don't want to let go. I mean, there's some people who don't want to let go of. Heterosexual only marriage, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's just not.
Well, I always felt this any separatist movement is sort of like antibiotics for social injustice.
Well, and I
you take it at the beginning, but then once the healing effects take place, you don't continue
good
taking
point.
That type of therapy.
And otherwise, then you become immune.
Yes.
And then I don't think it's good because it's like segregation. It's like, you know, the lesbians with the lesbians, the gays with the gays, the transgender with the transgender.
Right,
it's
right.
like it keeps us at a distance, and we're not powerful as a group.
Right.
You know, like
absolutely.
Some
us
people.
Freaks need to stick
we need
together.
Each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Stick together. Stick together. One
of
us.
Freaks and
freaks.
Stay together.
Gobble,
here we go.
Gobble. We accept them. We
love everybody.
Okay. Let me go. Now we're going to viewer mail. Let's listen to a little bit of. Let's listen to RuPaul's Super. This is the one song that doesn't suck. Okay, it does suck.
No, it doesn't suck.
It doesn't suck.
But you know
why?
You know why it doesn't suck? See, I think that's also a key as to what's happened, what the problem is with dance music.
What?
That doesn't suck because it's funny.
It is funny.
I mean, it's
funny.
Satirical.
We were lit syncing.
I mean, it's,
that, yeah.
you know,
it has
all
melody.
The elements of gay
Listen
life
to it.
That it should. Well, it's
yeah, it's all inclusive.
Okay, there's no melody there. Don't try it. But that's not the point.
You know, any song that can get Homer Simpson to say, you better work.
Exactly.
Is all right by me.
Exactly.
And I loved
and
RuPaul's first album.
See, that's what's lost in crystal meth music.
Do you think
crystal meth is destroying
gay culture?
There's no...
I mean, in a sense, that crystal meth is sort of...
Well, it's certainly destroying club music. I don't, you know... Mm.
I mean, there you have it from a gay music expert.
Well, think about early disco, you know, Village People.
Oh, I know. Wasn't that
I mean,
fun?
It was, you know, Sylvester. Yeah. It was really fun.
But aren't we just like old people
Sylvester
going, why can't young kids be like us? Why can't they? Where's the melody? Where's the humor?
Yeah, that's
where's
true.
The yeah, joy right. in your music? Why does your music have to sound like a back of a pickup truck and a steel mill and a drill going into my head? Why?
No, I disagree.
Turn
that
music
because
down.
Because I think that, we're not things, all, that we're are, no, things that are bad will not last.
Yeah.
You know, why do people still talk right. about Billie Holiday? Because
exactly.
it was good.
That's right.
And we're not going around, ooh, look at, she sounds
she's
so
She's black.
Old. And she sounds so, you know. Right. You don't say that because, you know.
She's a classic.
There.
So you well, don't think that RuPaul's new album is a classic?
Well, I don't think that the Crystal Meth dance music is going to last.
Mm.
That's what I mean. It won't, just won't have any.
Looks
know,
like the there's
the number,
a.
The number the, one song in like 1942 was How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? I mean, that was okay. no, that was the biggest selling record of that year.
Wow. And now and look it's... where it is. How? They're using it to sell dog pooper scoopers on television. let's go through listener mail here, which we have this gorgeous, gorgeous young man named Adam Baker. Look at that.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is the kind of Whoa. Young lesbians that listen to this show. Or some young man. We can't tell the gender, but I'm assuming
gender
it's a young
is
man.
Could be.
I hope it's a young man. He's really yeah. hot. Or it's a hot woman who right. doesn't, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Being a university student, I usually listen to the Feast of Fools podcasts and Madge Weinstein's podcast on the computer after classes. It's relaxing to hear something other than the bland pop music, the Crystal Meth stuff. See, I don't think Adam's been doing a lot of crystal meth.
No.
So stay off the crystal meth, Adam.
He looks very clean.
He's a good boy.
Oh, he's wearing a polo shirt, though, so that's minus 10 points, though.
That's not good.
Although, you know, that shirt would look a lot better in the floor of my bedroom, Adam, if you know what I'm saying. Scott Free will stand here, and he'll let you massage his pecs with a little Crisco.
And I'll let you play with my girlfriend's titties.
Okay. let's see. It's relaxing to hear something that other than the bland pop music that spews from MTV or the fear and paranoia spewing from the news channels, not to mention it's funny and entertaining.
Oh, good point.
Keep up the good work. And I read that letter, and then he replied. Hey, Fausto. I was listening to Tuesday's podcast, and my mind went blank Uh-oh. When you mentioned my name.
Wow, blank.
Adam Baker.
Oh.
So he's going to have a heart Whoa. Attack
Always
after this one.
Shit.
I just wanted to thank you for making my week. Also, you asked me for any ideas for future interviewees, and I think it'd be awesome if you could interview Ani DeFranco. But I don't know if she had the time since she's on tour promoting her new CD. Anyway, thanks. No, Scott Free has some connections to Ms. DeFranco. Well, you're bringing some famous lesbians to Chicago for your Queerest Folk Music Festival.
Well, I do. Lots of famous
and who,
lesbians.
Do, any
Well,
rumors?
This year I'm going to have... Oh, I can announce. It's, this
announce,
year gonna,
ladies and gentlemen, this is worldwide first. We're getting the first announcement for the Queerest Folk Music Festival.
Yes.
It's wow. Saturday, May 21st.
May 21st here in Chicago.
Hometown
and
School of Folk,
who
Folk Music.
Is the star of
Jill
the show?
Jill Sobule is the head.
Who the hell's that?
Oh. Who the hell? Yeah.
You don't remember her song, I Kissed a Girl, in the 90s? Huge hit.
I must.
Huge hit.
Yeah, I wasn't listening to lesbian girls. Music in the 90s.
It wasn't.
Okay, Leslie Sobule.
Jill Sobule.
Jill Sobule.
Nedra Johnson from New York City. You're not going to know any of these folks.
Mm-hmm.
Dudley Saunders from California.
Oh, we love Dudley.
Oh, yes, you do
She's
know Dudley.
Star.
He's a big
yes.
bottom, though, I heard.
Yeah.
And there's a problem with that?
No, I'm just wanted, I'm just saying he's a big bottom.
A little defensive there, aren't
you? Gee, I wonder why.
Hey, I have to stick up for...
For myself,
every
there are too many fucking tops. There's not enough bottoms. It's like
it's like
no,
jars
not
without lids.
There's not enough tops. There's too many bottoms.
It's like our kitchen.
Go in
here.
The chat room. Tops and bottoms. That's all you have is bottoms.
There, really,
one top.
You don't think there's enough tops?
Not enough tops. At least I can't find.
I have theories about.
I do
that
find.
Stuff.
Well,
they're not knocking on my door.
What do you think? There's not enough tops. Well, for those of you, wait, let me clarify something here. What
go
is
from
a top
lesbian music
and why
sex.
Aren't there enough of that?
And Matthew's bedroom.
Go right from lesbian music to sex.
Sorry, Jan's just been like steamrolled in this.
Can you get Melissa Etheridge?
No,
anytime
honey,
soon?
Not at all.
I love that girl.
Do you?
I adore her. I really
you know,
do.
Well, she shaved her head and she's gotten this, you know.
No, she didn't. She lost her hair.
Who?
Didn't she? Oh, no, she shaved her head.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah,
cancer.
I'm sorry.
Wasn't it?
No, actually, she did lose her hair.
Well, no, she did cancer, shave it, though.
To breast cancer, yeah. Which Madge Weinstein, about 7 years ago, was suffering from breast cancer, and she looked horrible. She did not look like a ravenous beauty that Melissa Etheridge was.
Are you serious? She really had breast cancer?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Even her pussy lost its hair. Which your girlfriend loved.
Well, when I had
cancer...
She was
eating her out when she was on chemo.
When I had cancer, my hair fell all out, and then it grew back curly. And my hair is as straight as a pin. It was all
Well, now I say it looks beautiful.
Now it's fucking... Yeah.
And
pink and cotton profile. Candy, yeah.
Well, see, everybody
anyway, it's
can
not about
recover.
Me. It's about
Scott
Free.
Yeah, it's about Melissa Etheridge.
Right.
And, I'm sorry, Scott. Don't beat me up.
So maybe we can set up a couple of... We're going to try to do an on-site podcast from the Queerest Folk Music Festival.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
But we'll probably do it out in the lobby since it's too noisy with all that music happening.
That horrible lesbian
that
folk
horrible,
music.
That horrible, annoying lesbian folk music. Oh, Jesus.
For all of us that don't know, when is that going to be?
In May. He just said it's in
May. 21st.
May 21st.
And why weren't we invited to perform?
May 21st.
Because you're not a folk artist.
I'll become one. I'll become whatever you want me to be as long as you give
you're
me
like,
a fucking gig.
I'll be a top. I'll be a bottom.
I'll be a bottom.
Whatever.
Let's see if we can find some lesbian music here. So, what? Any other people, or are you going to have poets at this thing? Or?
I haven't finalized the lineup yet, but those are the confirmed ones: Nedra Johnson, Douglas Saunders.
So, can you tell us about the French lady from Canada?
Farron?
No.
Oh,
the first one, the one we can pronounce her name.
Oh gosh,
the first name you just said.
Jill Sobule.
Yes, Jill Sobule.
I don't think so.
And tell me more about her or something.
Well, she had a big hit in the 90s. It was called I Kissed a Girl, which was very, you know,
that sounds
radical
nice.
To go to number one.
Yeah.
Fabio was in the video.
Fabio?
Are you going to have like stuff like this?
No, I Kissed a Girl
seriously?
Like Fabio.
Fabio.
Yeah, Fabio was like the husband. Mm. It's been a long time.
He's
I can't remember
buddy
what
commercials
happened.
Now. Butter commercials.
Are you going to have this?
This
sort of thing?
Will be the featured song for the evening.
That's cool.
This is actually the theme
That's
song
French.
For
I
all
it.
My queers.
You know, she actually did come out as a lesbian later on.
Who
the singing
this?
Nun.
Who is
Dominique Nicanique. The singing nun from the 70s.
She came out.
She came out.
I should get her for Queer's Folk Fest.
No, she's dead.
Oh.
She died.
You know this, Jan. This is our song we met on that night. On
what,
that
Dominique
Nicanique? Yes. The singing nun song?
Is that where you're crying
that's
now?
That's where we met.
Wow.
That's...
Actually, we were flying nuns
hey,
that night.
At the diaper. Song is playing.
And we're flying nuns that night, if you know what I mean.
Oh, that's why we're doing crystal math.
Oh,
you got... Okay, wait. Hold on one second.
Is there a circuit party version
There's a circuit... Yeah, there actually is a circuit... A tech.
No
version
no.
of this
oh.
thing. And she actually released a disco version. She left the convent.
And the convent?
The convent.
Okay.
The singing nun in the 1970s.
Did she commit suicide? Is that the same?
She committed suicide, yeah.
Oh.
And she released a disco version of this the Dominique song.
Wow.
You must
which
play
I'm
going
to try to... I know I don't have it here, but...
Do you have it? No.
Well, I'm sure you can, you know... Find it on the
download
iTunes
it.
In quotations
yeah.
music store in quotations wink wink if you know what
wow.
I mean the one where the
some,
not, when it's not 99 cents a song and there's a 99 cent song discount if you know what I'm talking about. And you know Scott Free is not that famous because I tried to find his songs on those alternative stores and I couldn't find any of them.
Oh.
Except the I did find like some naked pictures of you, but I won't be posting those.
How much
but we
did
will
they
be
cost
posting
to buy those.
How it was free. As in Scott
my
Free.
Naked pictures of, oh, that's okay.
Yes. Why would you pay for anything? The only thing that's not free is his music.
No.
But his love is. He's a free love and kind of.
You guys have an open relationship.
Now hot and hung stud from manhunt.net.
Yes.
The cab killing homosexual here in Chicago, Michael L. Jackson, King of Poppers. We will be posting his profile and picture on our podcast, so you can click on that and see the beauty that, and you can see all the venereal diseases that are on his penis.
You know, actually, that I mean, that's a really close-up shot of his penis. That's
it really is.
That's kind of, yeah.
And if your dick looks that bad, why the hell would you put a picture of it that
close?
So was
he a closet case, or what was the story? No.
He was just a closet psycho.
He was a closet
Well, they say he was, like, losing it. Like, he got kicked out of a bar earlier that week, and he was going
What I found very interesting is that they interviewed a lot of the people who were sort of financially benefiting from him, including, like, his hairdresser in the Sun Times, and they said, why, I don't know what drove him to do it. And I was like, well, maybe it's the fact that he was a crystal meth addict. But the other reason was, is like, the hairdresser said, well, I guess there's a serial killer in all of us. And I say, well, I guess there's a cab driving, three times running over killer in all of us, too.
I really crushed him. God.
He killed him good, honey. And I'll do the same thing to you, motherfucker, if you piss me off.
But what can make a person snap? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
So, you can go buy Scott Free's CD at CD Baby or off his website, scottfree.net. If you want to write more letters, send photographs of yourself listening to this podcast, you can do so at faustofausto.org. That's my name, Fausto, at fausto.org. And you can also do click-throughs to Scott Free's website. I'll let you guess what name, what his scottfree.net's website is. One last letter. Fausto, I adore you and your podcast, and I'll write you a proper letter sometime very soon. But for now, I wanted to let you know that the version of Hit the Road Jack that you played on your program is not performed by Portuguese version.
Oh.
Well, that's true. that it's performed by a band called Mo Horizons.
Hmm.
So, and he wants me to work in Scissor Sisters, Bicycling with the Devil. But John M., or J.M., as he calls himself, I really didn't like that song, so I'm not going to be playing it for you. But we're going to leave with the Scott Free theme song that we have here. And if I can actually get my iPod working. Now, why did you write this song, No One's Ever Going to Fall in Love with Me? Did your boyfriend at the time go like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, no, actually, I wrote this song quite a few years now. And I was actually in bed with a friend of mine. We just finished having sex.
And you're like, that was the most unsatisfying moment of my life. Let me write a song about it.
Yeah, grab him a piece of paper and a pen.
And hit a slice of pizza.
You know what I mean?
Blowjob, I just didn't convince me.
It was just like one of those things where, you know, we weren't dating, and
you were not dating each other.
Right.
You just had casual, meaningless, homosexual sodomy.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, actually, it's not sodomy anymore because it's legal. You can actually butt fuck your boyfriend and not go to jail anywhere.
But it's because it's legal, it's not sodomy anymore?
Guess not.
It's sodomy? Oh, that takes all the fun out of it.
It's no longer a crime to. I know. Now you're as interesting as my mother.
Now we can't be like evil.
Your mother's interesting.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Not that I know things like this, but I mean, weren't some states like it was like illegal?
It was, and then it got wiped out in 17 states.
Southern states.
Immediately.
When did that happen?
Well, when this
last Supreme
Court,
week.
No, last year.
We started fucking.
Okay,
was it last year?
In the same year. And this is what I want to remind listeners. It's like, you know, I know the Republicans are basically using every available resource in their power to make the world a more miserable place for every living creature, including you.
Roaches.
Except for Jeff Gannon, the White House press plant.
You know, I tried to go to military escort. M4M.com.
Oh, I'm sure they knocked that site down. It was gone fast. George Bush is like, we must take care of these evil-doing websites. But let me tell you, VisaFools.net will be on for a long time.
Okay.
Because we're too crappy of a show to you know, make it. And if anybody wants to spit on the president's drink as a present to me, please do so. And send me an email saying that you did that. I won't share it with anybody. I'll just smile. It'll be my birthday's coming in April, and a really nice present you could do is to spit. If you work for the President of the United States in the White House and you serve him his morning cup of coffee,
we're gonna get in trouble.
Put a little bit of Frappuccino in it, if
I'm
you know what
this.
I'm talking about.
CIA. Now, I'm not saying you should kill the president.
No.
No, never.
I'm not saying that you should stab him in the back.
Absolutely
not. I'm not saying you should pour acid on his face.
No.
I'm not saying that you should hang him from a noose. You shouldn't slice him and dice him. I'm not saying that you should pour
Stick a pipe bomb up his ass.
I'm not saying that you should like give him a Colombian necktie.
Put TNT
I'm not saying that. I love the president. I just kid the president.
I don't even know what a Colombian necktie is.
It's when you slice the throat with and you pull their tongue out.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
So
I don't want people to do that. I want people to love the president of the United States. So there.
Jan brought up a good, interesting issue about. She says she's afraid of Social Security. What's going to happen?
Yeah, the whole Social Security deal.
It's George Bush has.
I'm on it right now myself, so I don't have to worry. Yes. Wink, wink.
Yeah, for those of you who are on Social Security,
we're really crazy.
Actually, people really do. You guys wouldn't be here standing if it wasn't for Social Security.
Yeah, I just kind of feel sorry for all those, you know, people that are like in back of me, back of the line, you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, because it sounds like to me that a lot, it's, what is he saying? It's going to get, the money is going to be dried up and they want the young baby boomers of now to participate in some kind of
bank account.
You know,
weapons of mass destruction.
It's the weapons of mass destruction.
Part two scam.
George Bush should be impeached. Period. Shit. Just because of the Jeff Gannon, the porn star as a fake plant. Think about a person able to get. With a fake name, a CIA and FBI clearance.
Wow,
exactly.
That's just ridiculous.
Exactly.
And think about it this way.
And why is nobody upset about
it? What's it to keep a terrorist, a real terrorist, from getting a press clearance? If a porn star can do it, why not a terrorist?
Well, because
and someone
they're
going to judge
them if they're Middle Eastern or if they look like they're, you know, Arabian. They're going to think that.
Well, they're
right
just
away.
Very foolhardy. I think that the president thinks he's really invulnerable and invincible. And
well, yeah, he does.
And he's going to get a Colombian
necktie.
Well,
he's a dry drunk. He doesn't even go to a 12-step program. He needs help.
And look at those kids of his. They're like a bunch of wild
They're
animals,
retarded children.
You know? Juvenile delinquents.
Yeah, so spit in his coffee if you can.
This is for the gay Republicans.
So I want to thank Scott Free. This has gone on way too long, and I hope if the CIA doesn't shut us down tomorrow.
They have a new director, you know.
What?
There is a new director out there.
Oh, no.
So.
Uh-oh.
Negroponte. So
and he... One moment, please. Let me finish my podcast. And
we'll be right with you.
I just completely lost it. Okay. I want to thank you guys so much for coming, Scott Free. You're so wonderful.
I really loved
thank you for having me.
And I really loved your CD, Scott.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I want to get a copy of
that. She's actually going to buy one with her.
So hot,
can I plug a little reviews
and
of her
let me
outfit
tell
right
you,
now?
Absolutely.
She's got big muscles.
Shut up, Jen.
Cut it off, bitch.
We're 63 minutes now.
Okay, so it's 63 minutes. Some very nice reviews of the CD in Out Magazine this month, February, and also the current issue of Advocate. So
with those wonderful photos of Jason Smith.
Yes, Jason Smith took the photo in Out Magazine.
So thanks to Jason.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jason Smith.
For taking those pictures so fabulously of Scott Free and for retouching all the scars from his... hypodermic needle injections.
No. It's best if you go right to the face, actually.
It's the best through the face. Is that the best way to inject steroids?
Yeah,
in the neck.
Muscles, very
the neck is the best
place. Because, you know,
good chin muscles.
The biggest muscle in Scott Free's body is in his head, his brains. And I want to let you, let's just go out here with. The Muffin Song. Why do you call this Muffin Song and not No One's Ever Gonna Fall in Love with Me?
That was too long.
It's too long? Like the show.
No, everybody was calling it the Muffin Song.
Thanks so much, Scott Free.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Victoria Lamar
Thank
and
you.
Jan Wachowski. Thanks for coming.
Me nothing, hats me nothing, slipping in my ear. No one's ever cared if Vincent's here. I'm falling.
ever been in love with me. No one's ever given up.